Greetings, everyone. This is the Sound Health Option Show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry. So, good morning, everybody. We'll get going. We're having a little technical difficulty getting our guest onto the show, but he'll be joining us soon, Dr. Sam Milham, author of Dirty Electricity, Electrification, and the Diseases of Civilization. Everybody take a deep breath. It's a hairy subject, but it's a great, bit of information for us to have in our quiver of knowledge of how to be healthy on our own. It's really, as I was reading his book and just reviewing the material, it's really quite amazing. I'll start from here saying that with what Dr. Milham's going to talk about, that I know that you're going to want to hear this again and or tell your friends about it, because it is really tremendously powerful information. And you'll be able to do that about 10 to 15 minutes after the show. You can go to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, then click on the Blog Talk Radio Archive Player, and the last five shows will be there. You can also find the shows by going to iTunes or Stitcher, for instance, or any other number of podcast aggregators, depending upon your platform, meaning Android versus iOS. Search for Sherry Edwards, and you'll find our now, I think we're up around 555 shows, and this will be at the top of the list. And it's going to be a show you're going to want to share with your friends and families, because it really is powerful, powerful information. Electricity, dirty stuff.
I'm excited about having Sam with us, because he's going to tell us how this dirty electricity and these smart meters, smart and dirty, are going to be affecting our health and not allowing us to regenerate. So I'm very excited about this. Welcome, everybody. I had some technical problems this morning, but I really want to welcome everybody back, and we're happy to have you with us. Thank you for being our audience. We bring you this show and with leaders from your community to help educate and share information, because we really want to make a difference. We're being sponsored today by the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and their software, Gardasil. And we have put up on our workstation, soundhealthportal.com, a way for you to check whether or not you've been damaged with Gardasil shots. What we want to do here is sort of move everybody out of the way that's trying to sell you something to make you better, and let you go in and get your own information and decide for yourself. So that's why we're offering these free Gardasil. The Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, our sponsor, in case that wasn't on the whole spiel here, because we've been having trouble, is that we are a registered 501c3 nonprofit. And what we do is stick a microphone in front of your voice, test the frequencies of your voice, and compare them with other people. And one of my announcements today is that I was asked to do Kim Jong-un's vocal print, that leader of North Korea that has been threatening the United States and Guam with bombs. I did his voice. And his voice is almost identical to Muammar Gaddafi's. So I'm going to put that up today. Our government needs to know what this guy is really thinking. And you can lie with your words, but you can't lie with your voice. And we confirmed some of what he's saying, and it's going to be up on the site Sound Health Options under In the News. I want to let you know that our keynote is also up this week, and that's under In the News as a keynote, and it's all about the energy pathways of your body. We are not broadcasting. I don't know if Richard said this or not, but if you want to listen to the show, 347-850-1407. We'd love to have a live audience that asks questions. And Richard is over there in California monitoring the chat. So we'll go from there. Richard, I know you probably have announcements all about our very special guest.
I have an announcement. Talking about toxic fires.
Toxic fires.
And the fires are coming from the military sites burning hazardous waste in the open air.
In the open air.
Evidently, we have no controls over that, or the EPA has given them carte blanche to burn. I'm not sure exactly how this is happening. As the article says, virtually every day, the Department of Defense and its contractors burn and detonate unused munitions and raw explosives in the open air with no environmental emissions controls. Releasing toxins near water sources and schools. The facilities operate under legal permits with their potentially harmful side effects, or sorry, not side effects, harmful effects for human health aren't well researched, and EPA records obtained by this group, ProPublica, show that these sites have violated their hazardous waste permits thousands of times. There are a total of 197 sites nationwide. And currently 61 of them are active. And for example, one of them burns about 2.9 million pounds of waste every year. Open air, just blown around in Radford, back east. And the link that I'll put in the show notes has a map, an active map, that you can see the red dots of the 61 states that are active, and click on each dot and see how close one is to you. And how exciting is that? Because there's not quite enough toxins in the universe. And Dr. Millman will be adding to that. So that's an amazing... I don't know what to say about that. That's just shocking. Another shocking and appalling event where we're dumping toxins into the environment, and that seems to be okay.
Which toxin? Yeah, because we just put together a new computer program that has something like 60,000 biochemical toxins. So I'm wondering if the list of what they're burning is on our list, so people can go in and evaluate themselves.
Well, I imagine it would have to be a mixed load. I'll send you this link. And I say that because they're burning. When I lived on the Monterey Peninsula, they were doing this because they were clearing off the old military base that was called Fort Ord, which is now a California State University and other properties. And they cleared the decades of munitions that were on the property by just burning them. So that means that you have metals, you have explosive materials, you have all sorts of stuff. So you have mixed materials being just burned as a way of destroying them. But that smoke is going into the air. So it's not a single substance, it's a mix of toxins.
Then we should do a show, because we know what the architecture in your voice looks like of a toxin. We should do a show just dedicated to how to look at a toxin in your vocal print and to give people some ideas about how to reverse that.
That's a great idea. And do you have another
announcement,
Sherry, or are we ready to introduce Dr. Millman?
Well, I'll announce that I'm going to do it. I'm going to go in and find out what these toxins are and how we can put everything together for people. And anyone who wants to get an invitation to that special class should write to me at sherryedwards@gmail.com, sharryedwards@gmail.com, and we'll get it done and send people an invitation.
Dirty Electricity tells the story of Sam Milham, MD, the scientist who first alerted the world about the frightening link between occupational exposure to electromagnetic fields, electromagnetic pollution, and human disease. Milham takes readers through his early years in education following the twisting path that led to his discovery that most of the 20th century diseases of civilization, including cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and suicide, are caused by electromagnetic field exposure. Dr. Milham warns that because of the recent proliferation of radio frequency radiation from cell phones and towers, terrestrial antennas, Wi-Fi and WiMAX systems, broadband internet over power lines, and personal electronic equipment, we may be facing a looming epidemic of morbidity and mortality. In his book, Dirty Electricity, he reveals the steps we must take personally and as a society to coexist with this marvelous but dangerous technology. Dr. Milham joins us to talk about electronic pollution and its effect on our bodies. Good morning, Dr. Milham.
Good morning.
Wow. My mind is blown. I've read enough of your material that it makes me want to just, you know, go somewhere and go and be in a mountain top and hide, you know. I'll start with the, when you were in medical school, getting your degree as a doctor and focused on epidemiology, did you ever think that you'd be writing a book like Dirty Electricity? Was that your, were you headed that direction, or what happened? How did you
get
there?
No, absolutely not. It was the farthest thing from my mind, and I just knew that I liked and was drawn to the concept of epidemiology because it's basically good science, and I figure that since these techniques had worked to unravel the acute communicable disease etiologies, we could use the same techniques with modification to look at what was killing us now. I mean, Panem figured out measles, and other people figured out vitamin deficiency diseases like pellagra and scurvy and cholera was worked out elegantly in London by another investigator. So I just took a whack at it happened incrementally. I was very interested in childhood leukemia because I figured epidemiologically it's a perfect thing to study because the kids don't live that long. They don't move away. I mean, most of them were dying at age 2, 3, 4. And they were all covered. And since it was a uniformly fatal disease before treatment, you had good records of the event, you know, the death record. And the diagnosis is easy. You could just do a finger stick or a marrow and get a definitive diagnosis. So I figured if we're going to figure this business out, let's start with that one. So when I did, and I was just amazed. In my book, I describe how just tooling along the internet one night, I found this wonderful graph that showed the time trend of electrification in this country, and the data was collected by the U.S. Census. So here we had this variable, and we had the mortality variable from death records, and so we just looked at the two of them simultaneously, and it was a mind blower. It showed that childhood leukemia, the major type, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, was basically a rare disease until electrification, and then as the country electrified, the U.S. is a special case because it was so big. And it took nearly 50 years to cover the whole country with electrification. The last farms got electrified in mid-50s, and the cities were basically all covered by 1900. So you had 50 years of death records for two populations, one of which had electricity and one of which didn't. And just by looking at the time trend and what happened over time, it was obvious that A caused B, the more electrification, the more leukemia in kids. And when I did that, while I was doing that, I was in the death record books, and I noticed, hey, wow, it's not just leukemia, it's everything. And the one that really blew my mind was suicide was tied to electrification also. So, when I was in medical school, this was the farthest from my mind, and this is like 20 years later when I was doing this business. And even then, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. How on earth could this technology do this to us? But now it's obvious it has, and it's doing it, and it's getting worse. And there's certain trends in this country that are just killing us. Whatever. that's a quick answer to your question. No, when I was in medical school, this was far from my mind, but it sure is right on my mind now. And it's, right. It's depressing because there's so much money and so much corruption in the utility and the cell phone industry that they really call the shots. Like they slap smart meters on houses, including mine, and we can't do anything about it. And I protested, and they said, well, if you don't want the meter, you can't have electricity,
Oh, in my state, they said you could choose not to have a smart meter, but you'd have to pay a fine. Well, they didn't call it a fine. They call it an opt-out fee. That's it. Yeah, oh, you can opt out if you pay us money. Really?
That's extortion.
I'd rather deal with the mob. I trust the mob. I know they'll just kill me if I screw up. This is just, you know, my byline on shows.
You're in California.
Yeah, I'm
in California.
Yeah.
Well, PV, the head of the Public Utility Commission, is probably going to go to jail. I mean, most of those guys are retreads, guys who retire from the electric utility business, and they're all holding hands through the swinging door, and I think they've got a good criminal case against him. But, you know, I've written to them, to the PUC, dozens of times. I spent winters in California for like 12, 13 years, and they're violating, electric safety rules and codes, which have no teeth. The one they're really violating, and it's hurting everybody, is, not just there, the whole country. We've got a grid in this country. It's called the Grounded Y Grid. When it was built, it basically all the electricity that's delivered to your house has to go back to the substation or to your factory, whatever. And it went back in wires, but since the 60s and 70s, more and more of it is being sent back to the earth because the utilities are too lazy, too cheap to put up adequate wires to carry them. So right now the earth is really full of bad stuff, and it gets into your house through your ground connections, and actually you can get it just walking on the ground. And National Electric Safety Code says you can't use the earth as a primary return for to the substations for the return currents, but it's violated en masse. Now, in Europe and other places, they're fortunate. They have a different kind of grid where the way it's built, it never goes, it gets into the ground. But that's one of the reasons that we're in big trouble in this country, because we're all exposed. You're exposed not only from your own electronic junk, but you're exposed by everybody else's junk, and it gets to you through the earth. And it also accounts, I think, for why there's been a rash of electrocutions and people swimming in various places, because the stuff runs back through the water as well as through the earth.
So that means I just this morning went for a walk out, and I live in a moderately rural area, but so I'm looking out at the hills, and I'm seeing cows walking around on the hills grazing or being dairy cows.
Yeah.
And so that means, what is it? We're jumping completely, but I just have to ask because I just saw this. So how do the cows feel about this? And you know what
the cows tipped us off. The people I worked with, Dave Stetzer and recently deceased Dr. Marty Graham, about 25 years ago, when the utility started dumping this stuff into the ground, the first people to pick up on it were the dairy farmers, because their cows got sick. And, I mean, they got mastitis, their milk productions went down, and whole herds died, and it's still happening. And so they were smart enough to pick up on it and found out that it wasn't the 60-cycle stuff that the utility was putting into the ground. It was all the dirty electricity, the high-frequency transients that were riding along on the 60-cycle wave. And they've done remarkable studies. They got one published a few years ago. In fact, I wrote the abstract for their paper. And it shows that just trivial amounts of the stuff in the ground will put the cow off her milking and cause no abortions and infertility and everything else. And look at and so the cows are basically the canary in the coal mine for us, and you better believe it. And what's really ironic now is that the Amish dairy farmers in Wisconsin that I visited, their cows are getting sick, and they're getting sick just from the stuff in the ground, even though they're not connected to the grid. I mean, they buy a house, they rip out the wires, and they don't use electricity at all. Their barns are dingy and dark, and but their cows are getting sick, and they're getting sick just from the stuff in the ground.
And so that answers one of the questions I was just about to ask, is that so the Amish live away from electricity, or if you live way out in the country, at some point does it dissipate if you live far enough, or is it really going to carry?
When I was in California, I used to carry my oscilloscope on hikes up under the Cascade Crest Trail. I've yet to find a place in North America where there isn't substantial electrical pollution in the ground or in the water, period. That's it. They're dumping about 80% of the stuff that's delivered into the earth for return to the substation. So, a couple of years ago, I took my boat out to an island in Puget Sound. I live in Olympia, Washington, and nobody's ever had electricity on that island. Indians own it, and one Indian friend took me out there. Son of a gun, there it is, 5 miles from the shore, and salt water, and there was heavy current in the ground right there. So, if it's there, it's everywhere. Up on the Cascade Crest Trail, when I used to go on my hikes, I'd check it up there, too, and it was everywhere. I don't find any place that's clean. I suppose a desert island out in the middle of the Pacific would be clean. And there's a corollary to this. There are people who say that earthing, a guy named Ober sells blankets, earthing blankets, and he wrote a book called Earthing. And it's supposed to make you healthy to hook yourself up to one of their blankets, and they either have it attached to a stake in the ground, a true ground, or the outlet ground in the house. Well, I measured both. And in any case, wherever you are, it's putting the garbage in the ground into your body, and it makes a lot of people very sick.
Yikes. You're answering questions that I haven't even asked yet, because I was going to ask about earthing.
I'd be very happy to answer any questions you have.
No, you're great, because it's really, I go to a lot of health shows or other kind of environmental shows, and I see that trend with earthing. I see a lot of people like, here's the new latest groovy, you clip this thing, you lay on a pad, you put the ground wire out to the earth, and it always kind of stuck in my car like, that doesn't make sense.
What it does, it's fully equivalent to hooking yourself up to the utility neutral wire on the pole. It's exactly the same feel, because I measure the down ground from the neutral to the earth with an oscilloscope, and that's what you're putting into your body, because it's exactly the same as plugging into your outlet ground, because by code, the wiring of your house is attached to a dedicated earth or a ground rod. And the little green screw on your outlet box is attached to the utility neutral. So, when you hook yourself up either to the outlet ground or to a true ground, you're actually hooking yourself up to the utility neutral wire, which should be clean, but it's not anymore. It's full of garbage. And as the smart meters have migrated into California by the millions, the ground currents and dirty electricity in the ground are getting worse and worse. I watched Palm Desert when they started putting smart meters in. I made measurements, and every time they put another 1,000 meters in, it got worse for everybody, because we're all attached to the same earth.
Amazingly so. Was electricity, I want to go back slightly, was electricity always dirty, or is it
absolutely
a lot of...
Well, yeah, it started with Edison. And if you read his archives, they make electricity by spinning, a magnet, and they had carbon or other kind of brushes to pick up the current. And right from the get-go, he complained bitterly about brush arcing, and it was burning out the brushes in his generators. And he tried to cure it by dumping mercury onto the brushes, and it helped, but it made everybody who worked around the machine sick, because the mercury got hot and vaporized and caused heavy metal poisoning. So no, it's been there since Edison, and it's worse now because let's fast forward to Afghanistan and Iraq. I figured out that the suicide and post-traumatic stress disorder that's rampant in our military is due to brush arcing, just like Edison had way back when. You know, they spend $20 billion a year, last time I checked, to air condition the troops in these hot places like Kuwait and Afghanistan and Iraq. And it's not just the people in combat, it's everybody, the cooks, the orderly, the people who, you know, work at desks. And they get this. What happens when you have unmaintained electronic generators, diesel electric generators, which what they are, you get brush arcing and it makes dirty electricity. It makes people sick. And they don't know how to wire them up anyway because they got high electrocution rates too. So there you have, and the tip off is in part military that's out of the hot area who don't get air conditioned like Navy and Air Force. They don't get it. And I've written the VA to complain about this and make suggestions about it. And some guy wrote me that he spent a year in Kuwait, and when he came back a year or two later, he had dozens of skin cancers all over him, and he was wondering if that could have been caused by electricity. I said, absolutely. And he knew five guys who were with him over there who developed thyroid cancer shortly after coming home. And that's a tip off, too, because that's a very sensitive, electrosensitive cancer. So yeah, we're just jumping all over the place. But the other point I want to make about Edison, you know, now there's a big worry about cell phones and cancer. And we didn't have those all operate on microwaves. We didn't have microwaves until radar was invented in World War II. But my book shows that we started getting this huge excess mortality and morbidity from the time of Edison. So you had from 1892, when he started this business, until radar was invented. There were no microwaves until the 50s. The radar ranges, remember those? Microwave oven, that's what they called them. And now there's just a ton of that stuff in the air from, you know, from cell towers. And the other big technology that's very, very worrisome are we're going so-called green energy, you know, solar and wind. Well, they're fine until you hook them to the grid. And see, they generate direct current. And unfortunately, the grid is AC, or alternating current. And they have devices to change the DC to AC. They're called inverters or switch mode power supplies. Those are all filthy. I've never seen one that's good. And I've measured hundreds of them in houses. I measured the big solar arrays down there in Desert Center and other places in California. And they're all... they just put out terrible, terrible electricity. And it's another set of devices that are wreaking havoc with our health, and people don't know about it. It's called the variable frequency drives. It's a big fetish for the last 25 years. Now it's getting worse. You can't, almost all electric motors, in the old days, you had on-off switches or high, medium, low speed, like a fan or whatever else. Now they have these devices with electronics to... so they can infinitely vary the frequency, rotational frequency or speed of the motor, and they're putting them on big motors and small motors, and they put out terrible, terrible, dirty electricity, like furnace fans and air conditioners. You can't buy one anymore without one of those things on it, and big motors happen to huge motors.
There's so much of it around us, particularly at the Cancer Control Society show, which was in Pasadena, California. They had a lot of conversation about that because doctors were observing, you know, what was the tipping point? You know, there's one particular group that was a doctor that had a lot of results, and because they have a kind of a tight network, he was dealing with stewardesses and pilots that had an elevated level of cancer. And they couldn't figure out why. And eventually they figured it out because they were flying around in, you know, tubes of metal. Okay, I think Sam is back. Just a sec.
The stewardesses, you just talked about stewardesses. Well, you're right. They're in a metal tube, and you go on a plane now with your meters, and you find out that they're full of microwaves, intentional and otherwise. And when they land, and everybody pulls out their cell phone and talks, it does huge levels of the stuff in the plane. And beside the planes, even before cell phones were. There's about 5 miles of electrified wire in most planes, and there's good studies showing high cancer rates in plane crews, pilots, way back when, before cell phones. So it's and the other problem they have is in the northern hemisphere, they fly high and they get cosmic radiation too.
And so electricity, the brush issue with electricity has always been an issue, but now
Absolutely.
We have this amazing pile of added artifact from cell towers and Wi-Fi signals in our home and the dreaded deadly bricks that's attached to everything. I call them dreaded deadly because they're annoying and because I've always felt that the transfer of electricity from one to another is bad. So everything is built with a brick. So we're just exacerbating the condition by adding more artifact on top of more artifact?
Well, yeah, and not just that, but people are marketing all sorts of devices that are flat out lethal. There's I had a recent case of a person with Lou Gehrig's disease, and I'm positive she got it from using these detoxifying foot baths. I mean, they're a scam. I mean, how you can't pull toxins out of your body through your skin by sticking them in an electrified bath. And I measured the currents in the bath, and boy, they're high. And actually, Lou Gehrig's disease, I wrote a paper on that. He got killed by the chiropractor who was the trainer for the Yankees then, who was in love with shortwave diathermy. Anytime you put exogenous currents into your body, you're liable to get Lou Gehrig's disease, and people have been struck by lightning, and electrical workers have had shocks, and soccer players who use transcutaneous electric stimulation devices, they all get high levels of Lou Gehrig's disease. Just an example of, our bodies are an electrochemical soup. You can't mess with nature. We evolved with just the Earth's core and Schumann resonances and cosmic rays, and now we've added all this other man-made stuff, and utero exposure begins it. Most of the cancers in kids are caused by utero exposure, and childhood obesity and childhood asthma are definitely caused by in utero exposure. There's good studies done in California, in the Kaiser Permanente group. Dequan Lee showed that. He took women when they got pregnant. He asked them if they wear a meter that then measured magnetic field. He could measure other stuff now, for one day in the first trimester, and he showed that reading correlated with asthma or obesity in their kids when the kids got to be teenagers. So what does that tell you? So in other words, the fetuses are getting exposed in our schools. Our schools are death traps. They got, Wi-Fi and classrooms. I'm cleaning up a school in Olympia now. I walked around yesterday, and I couldn't believe the garbage there, the electronic garbage that shouldn't be in the school, exposing our kids. And I showed that school teachers and professors and other people get cancers on account of the garbage in school buildings and college buildings. Another big no-no now is I got a paper just sent it in a couple of weeks ago showing that ordinary fluorescent lights, new and old, and most other non incandescent bulb lighting gives you heavy exposures to radio frequency, and you get high levels of current in your body just by being close to the light. I mean, like within 10 feet. My barber shop is a hotbed. I was in there the other day, and I measured it. The barber, she's getting like 70, 80 microamps of current in her body just by standing cutting hair in her barber shop from the lights. We shut the lights off, it goes away.
And is there any kind of in fluorescent lights in standard old tube lights? Let's talk about those.
That's it. Ones and new ones. The new ones are worse than the old ones because they got electronic ballasts in them. But even the old ones, who knew about this? Was a guy who wrote John Ott. He did this stop animation stuff for Disney for years. He wrote a book called Health and Light. Everybody should read that book. And he got onto this electric stuff without knowing what was going on. In a Sarasota, Florida, windowless school, he showed that when they had fluorescent lighting, the kids got what looked like ADHD, hyperactivity, and he could cure it by putting a metal grid in front of the light and grounding it. In other words, he made a Faraday cage for the lights, and just to knock off the RF that was coming off the lights. So he had clean rooms and dirty rooms, and he showed that in the dirty rooms, the with the old lights, the kids had all the symptoms of this. And well, you know, in a California school, I write about this in a book. We showed high cancer rates in school teachers at La Quinta Elementary Middle School in La Quinta, California. And when the word on that got out, I got calls from teachers at an elementary school, Vista Del Monte, in North Palm Springs. I went over and looked at that. Of course, there's a cell tower on campus. Now, cell towers, all transmitters, people don't realize, but they all run on direct current. You can't buy that from San Diego Gas and Electric or any other electric utility. So all these devices have to have, all these transmitters have to make DC from the AC with inverters or switching power supplies. And those are the problem. Just like with solar and wind, they've got this device that makes, that changes the DC to AC or vice versa. And those things put out dirty electricity. Well, anyway, this elementary school with had an epidemic of breast cancer, it turned out, and the teachers. And I offered to clean the school up with filters for free, my time and money, and the school district wouldn't let me do it. But the little corollary was about ADHD, was one of the teachers was complaining bitterly. Her kids were just jumping out of their chairs or unteachable. And so I filtered her classroom at my expense and put 5 filters in. Didn't tell her what I was doing or why. And she called me a couple of days later and said, "My God, what happened?" She said, "The kids are perfectly normal. Just by getting rid of the dirty electricity from the cell tower, the kids were cured." But she was smarter than I was. What she did is she pulled the filters out and put them back in and timed it. And she could turn the kids on and off like a light switch in an hour.
So that
disease.
Wow.
All the kids who take Ritalin in this country, it's a scam. They don't need it. We've cured so much of this just by cleaning up the houses and the schools. The exposure to this stuff just drives kids nuts, and it changes their neurotransmitters. And whatever.
And so talk more about the filters. What do you mean by filters? What are those?
Okay,
and is that something we can do?
Okay, let's go back to Stetzer and Marty Graham.
Okay.
When they did the farm stuff, they realized it was the high-frequency stuff. And not only were the cows sick, but the farmers and their families were sick. So they did experiments. They knew that you could selectively remove the dirty electricity from the incoming electricity by using capacitive filters. So they first experimented with putting them at the panel where the electricity came in, but they found out that a lot of it's made inside the house from your own appliances and stuff. So they devised a very simple capacitive filter. You just plug into an outlet, and it drops the dirty electricity level selectively between, say, 10 and 100 kilohertz. That's the frequency range that seems to make people most sick or symptomatic and cause cancer. And it certainly bothered the cows. So they've got these devices that are marketed, which if you have, and they also have a meter, one of a kind, called a microsurge meter, which you plug into your outlet, no batteries or anything, and it uses the grid electricity to power it, and it gives you a measure of how much of the dirty electricity you have in your wiring. And then as you plug the filters in, you can watch that this measure of dirty electricity goes away. We try to get below 50 units of this stuff, and I've just watched, you know, I've cleaned up hundreds of houses, and I've watched just dramatic improvement of health. And if you have diabetics in the house, their insulin requirement drops like mad once you you put the filters in. You have to warn them because you can cause problems, et cetera.
Imagine if you suddenly shifted the environment dramatically. I could see somebody with diabetes having, like, wow, you know,
yeah, well,
the body,
you know,
being in shock.
You look at my papers. Diabetes is one of the real standouts. Diabetes and suicide. They're all EMF diseases. I mean, and about if suicide, it's depression. The clinical depression is caused by this, and people just, you know, they and all the symptoms are just vague, like headache and insomnia. I mean, that's why people take sleeping pills and uppers and unfortunately an animal, you know, animals aren't neurotic. I mean, the cow, you measure her milk production every day, and she'll tell you right away if she's getting exposed to this stuff and without getting a headache, you know. Maybe it does cause cows headaches. I don't know, but you can measure it in their milk production. Anyway.
And does that mean, so So the cow's taking in dirty electricity, and then we're consuming that milk or their product?
Nothing happens. The milk, some of the chemical constituents of milk change a little bit. The butter fat might change, but there's no way that her exposure is going to be transferred to you in the milk. No.
Okay. So it's not
does cause the farmers millions of bucks worth of losses. In fact, a $9 million suit just got settled about a month ago in Wisconsin, caused by it's utility malfeasance that causes it. And all they got to do is put up more neutral return wires. And when they do that, the cows come back to full production.
And how did the Europeans get smarter about this than we are?
Part of it is luck, because they don't have the grounded Y grid. The other thing is they got much stricter rules on electrical pollution. And let me tell you that horror story. These variable frequency drives that are marketed in this country, they have an option of having the utility knows about this, and the manufacturers know that they cause electrical pollution. So for the European market, where they have stricter rules on harmonic distortion and electrical pollution, they actually sell the VFD, variable frequency drive, with the fix on it, with the filter on it already. They're tuned filters, is what they are. They knock out the bad frequencies. In this country, it's an option. So what happens is the same device marketed in this country makes people sick and kills them, and in Europe it doesn't because they have it fixed. But, you know, I've been trying to get this electric utility in North Carolina that owns this natural gas, liquid natural gas pumping station, and to put a filter on their VFDs to stop the epidemic in Huntersville, North Carolina. They're up to 16 cases now of, you know, nasty melanoma of the eye. But anyway, we're learning more about cancer. It looks like it's frequency specific. In other words, a specific EMF frequency causes a specific cancer. And I read about that in my last paper. So, God, I never expected I'd be doing this stuff in my 80s. I'm 85 now, and I can't let it go. It's just too interesting.
Amazing.
What's more important? I mean, we've shown that, you know, unequivocally, that almost all our ailments are diseases of so-called, you know, everything that we die of and get sick with are caused by this stuff. And nobody believes it, or nobody wants to give up their toys, you know, their junk. and the utilities aren't, what happened when we first, like computers, for example, they run on DC. When the wave of computers came out in the 60s and 70s, everybody got one, you know, and everybody's got a laptop or a computer. That increased the dirty electricity like mad. And the first thing that happened is they started getting house fires and building fires, because the high frequencies that the switching power supplies make don't run in the wires as well as the 60 cycle of low frequency stuff. It's called a skin effect. It runs on the skin of the wire. So you need a heavier wire to carry this electrical pollution back to the substation. So right away they changed the building codes to have thicker wires in the houses and buildings. But the utilities, in their infinite greed, instead of adding increased current capacity to their wires or putting bigger wires up on their poles, they just dump it in the ground. There used to be one connection to ground per mile in our grid. Now every transformer out there, well, you go out and look at it, those little gray tin cans on the poles, it's got three connections on it. The outside two are the hots, where the electricity comes in, and the center one's the neutral. And you look at the neutral's got a connection to Earth, a dedicated ground, and every... I was walking around yesterday in a neighborhood by a school and looking at, and every transformer had a down ground. So it's all going into the ground right there, and you can measure it. I measure it all the time. It's called primary neutral to earth voltage. There shouldn't be any, and there's a ton of it. So anyway, the utilities are doing us in, and they could fix it. The single biggest thing we could do in this country for improving health and welfare would be to put the stuff back into the wires. And God, I mean, within a couple of months, there'd be difference in symptomatology. Within a year or two, the mortality rates would drop like mad. Diabetics, people would, whatever.
But yeah. And are there any groups or where I knew this would happen, rapidly moving, you know, we've got about 7-8 minutes. Are there groups or anybody that we can get behind and, you know, go after our congressmen or start some sort of, you know, drums rolling?
No, they're all bought and paid for. I mean,
yeah.
I can't get this stuff published, you know, let alone, I tell you now, every time I write a scientific paper, the utilities have a couple shills who they pay money to attack my stuff and print, I mean, to write letters to the journals. I mean, that's how bad it is. I mean,
yeah.
You know, no, and I despair. I mean, everybody in Congress is on the take. The public health people have fallen down big time. Some of them are on the take too, and because and the utilities, you know, have people on retainers all over the country to fight this, and some of those are health people too. I've written to the military. I've written to the VA, and you know, a lot of the stuff can be fixed. But you know, if you read the book, it's got all sorts of horror stories, and those are depressed.
Yeah. Well, and it's amazing to. I mean, I guess I'll say it's amazing, but I don't mean quite that phrase. It sounds a lot like the tobacco industry. You know, where the
exactly.
industry for years and years and still today lies and cheats and steals and does whatever they want. This is my opinion. You know, it's the same thing where it's just deny is our strongest thing. And we just keep denying it. Oh, no, not that. No, we can't because
it's
going to cost.
Exactly the same thing. One of my friends, he's Henry Lai at the University of Washington. He's a co-editor of one of the journals that publishes this stuff. He went back through all the papers and looked at who paid for them, and if it was subsidized by the Electric Power Research Institute or utility or military, the answer was a whole lot different than if it was one of my papers. In other words, you could this is exactly the same as asbestos and cigarette smoking. The same. It's gonna. I'll be in my grave for 20 years before anybody pays attention to this, but if we just did a couple of small things like putting the return currents into the wires where they belong. Hey, their own think tank, Electric Power Research Institute, 20 years ago suggested putting a fifth wire up to do this, and they did a demonstration a couple of places, and it makes a remarkable difference in the pollution and the pollution effects. So there's, and if somebody could only invent a clean inverter for solar and wind, I love those technologies are here to stay, But right now they're dirty and they're bad. The only good thing about solar is when the sun goes down, it doesn't hurt you anymore because it's not generating. But wind can blow at night too.
Right. And is it possible to design a converter that would not pollute if people were willing to invest in it?
Hey, this is the whole thing is strictly an engineering problem, and there's an engineering fix to all of this. My friend Stetzer, he's developed a clean LED light that, you know, by putting the proper filters in it, and you can invent clean, and the utilities and the people who manufacture variable frequency drives, they know how to make them clean, and they have to make them clean for the European market. They're an option here, so people get the cheapest thing, and we pay the price. I had a woman a couple of years ago call me. They put a new VFD, a variable frequency drive, on her submersible well pump over in Yakima, Washington, and the minute they turned that on, she got sick. She wound up leaving her house, and she's still out of it, and she would have died except her pets got so they wouldn't eat, her dog and her cat, so she knew it wasn't just she. And that didn't have to be. They could have put a filter on that thing and fixed it, but no, they didn't. You know, it's been nice visiting with you. Any other questions? I'd be glad to answer any.
I think I have to ask, you know, where do people find your book? Do you do consulting
Okay. $11 from Amazon. It's called Dirty Electricity. And you can find my website just by going to Google and putting in Sam Milham, Dirty Electricity, and it'll pop up. And on the website, I've got, under recent papers, I've got maybe 15 or 20 papers on this subject. And I add them as fast as I can. I got a video I did for Dr. Mercola within a year, and we covered a lot of the same stuff we're talking about today, but they can actually refresh their memory.
Yeah, your site has a pile of, you know, research papers. That's partially why my, you know, brain is already peeled back, because I read a number of the papers. I was already had some awareness of dirty electricity, and reading your papers didn't help.
it's not rocket science. My God, it's there, and you can measure the stuff, we've cleaned up houses and just watched dramatic things happen. I tell you, one of a couple of the devices that people really want to avoid, haven't gotten into it, are digital enhanced cordless phones. These cordless phones portable phones, boy, the base of those puts out RF full time. I had a woman that was dreadfully ill, was going to have back surgery, and insomnia, headaches, all of the above. Got rid of her DECT phone, and she couldn't believe that silly thing was making her so sick. It was, of course, and it will.
And did I hear you mention a Siemens phone that you thought was cleaner?
No. I think they used to manufacture an Echo DECT phone, but I haven't been able to find those.
Okay.
You got to get online. You can get refurbished phones that are cleaner, but you really want to have fun. Just go into a lighting store, like big box store like Best Buy, with an AM radio tuned off station. It's a wonderful, wonderful device. It's cheap, and just listen to that, how it howls at all these dimmable LEDs. And most of the lighting on the market now is bad news, and some of the old stuff is bad news too. Stick with the old incandescent bulbs,
stick with a switch on the wall. Turn it on. Turn it off.
Turn it off. And no dimmer switches either. There you go.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Sam. I knew it was going to be a great and scary show all at the same time, because
don't
it really
mean to scare
is.
Anybody, but,
no.
This is something you could do something about, and if you read the book, there's clues about things to do and things to avoid, and don't buy this electronic junk. They're selling stuff that's supposed to, you know, make your house clean by by just plugging it, you know, and make your cell phone clean by sticking a little thing on it. No way. No, all that stuff is just junk.
Yeah.
You're wasting
your
money on it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I will, for those that are listening, I will say that you can find Dr. Sam's site by going to Sam, SAMMILHAM.com. And you can find his book there, and you can find his research section there, which is just filled with great information. There must be something we can do here. Let's form a group or, you know, start the ball rolling. But thank you so much, Dr. Sam.
Oh,
that was great.
Sure,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.